36 in the back of the book. Hymn number 36 in the appendix. We go to meet the Savior, His glorious face to see. What manner of behavior doth with His hope agree? Hymn number 36 in the appendix.
To everyone that when I sat down in my chair for this meeting, I had no intention or thought of getting up to speak. But the Lord has brought some thoughts to my heart, and He's also caused me to realize that there's a need with us. And I trust that what He has placed upon my heart will be a blessing. I'd like to start with the verse that we had in our reading in James, a verse that I did not understand at 10 o'clock this morning, but the Lord has given me a little bit of light through the help of the ministry that was in the meeting. And so I want to read this verse first. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. I begin my talk this afternoon by saying a couple hours ago I didn't understand what that verse meant. I did not know what the crown of life meant. And through the help of ministry here, the Lord kind of turned a light on in my soul, and I came to realize that it's the benefit of the new life, the new nature, our life in Christ Jesus, that the desires which that life generates in the soul, that creates a barrier, or it creates new desires which don't give in to the temptations that lust and sin in the flesh present to us. And as we enjoy the life that God has given us, the new nature in the power of the Spirit of God, as it is enlightened by the Word of God, there's a change that is brought about in our life. And this crown of life is the extreme benefit that we have of having that new nature. It's the reward that it brings us in a practical way of enjoying the benefits of the life which we possess in Christ. So we'll talk a little bit this afternoon about that life that we have in Christ. And that life is always in contrast to the life that we had in Adam. And so it's very helpful for us to realize, you know, the young people that were here, this isn't a new topic to you at all, because the brother that spoke, Brother Greg that spoke to us during the young people's time, he put it in a way that I'd never considered it, but he spoke of the old age and the new age. The old age was the Adam age, and the new age is the Christ age. And he also told us that there's a little overlap. The Christ age is going to take us on into eternity, into the heavenlies, and there is not going to be anything, not a scrap or a remnant of what existed in the old age, which was dominated by Adam and sin and death. And he said there's an overlap now where we have remnants of both ages. By birth, naturally, we still have what is connected with the old age, in the sense that, you know, you have natural relationships, you enjoy the intimacy that he spoke about. And in the new age, we have the new life. We have our life in Christ, and we have the desires and the righteousness of God, and we possess those things. And so there is an overlap. And so the verse that came home to my soul in the reading meeting this morning has to do with the new age. It has to do with the life that we possess in Christ in connection with temptation. And so somewhat of, as we're speaking here, we still have the overlap, don't we? We have that which is still working in us, the desires of the flesh to create sin, and that which is now in us, in a new man, in Christ, which has the desires that are after God and in righteousness. And so I would just like to share a verse, another verse in Romans chapter 14. This verse is a verse I've been thinking a lot about. And I've come to realize just this afternoon we were having a conversation. This is often how it works I'm seeing how the Lord works. Sometimes the Lord sees a real need in our midst. He knows that there is a need in the hearts of souls. And prophecy is that which is given of God to meet that specific need. And that's what this meeting is. This meeting is not for a brother, including myself, to stand up and speak about his favorite topics. It's a meeting that addresses a specific need at the present time that God sees his children need. And I trust that the Spirit is in control and that he is providing answers to specific needs. And so let's just go on over to Romans chapter 13. I'm sorry, Romans 13. This has to do really with the verses that we're going into in our reading meeting, the question of the temptations that we face in life. And it says, verse 14 of Romans 13, it says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Now, I will say, without any reservation, that if we obey this verse by the grace of God, in the power of the Spirit of God that he has given us, we'll wear the crown of life. We'll wear the crown of life. Because we will endure temptation. But let's talk about what this verse. Sometimes we can read a verse, but we don't have much understanding as to what it means. And we don't understand how it is applied in our daily life. And so this verse tells us to do something, but how can I do it if I don't understand anything about what it's telling me to do? This is a spiritual application. It could be nothing more than a spiritual application. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I will just give a false definition of this so that we understand what it doesn't mean. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that would mean that we come to all the meetings and that we read our Bibles and that we do the very best we can and be good Christians, and we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is not a good definition or a good way to explain what this verse means. We all know from our own practical experience, most likely, we've already tried that. You know, we've already tried, as we have in our youth, and I don't speak necessarily of age, but in our Christian development, we have sought in our own strength to curb the appetite and the desires of the flesh. We've really tried to change the circumstances that exist in us We have a nature that always will do its own will and seek its own pleasure. That nature will never, ever, ever change. And so if we're going to get rid of it, oftentimes we first try in our own strength to curb its appetites, to make no provision for it. Notice the order of this verse. Let's read it again. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now I'm going to read it backwards. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading it backwards would probably be more the experience of most of us who have been saved and maybe gathered to the Lord's name as well. Because that is our natural inclination to think that the flesh is something that can be handled by, you know, our wills and our determination. But that's not the truth of this verse at all. That's not God's instruction to us at all. God does not tell us to put off the Lord Jesus Christ or to put off the flesh or don't make provision for the flesh and then put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us, first of all, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's something that I wish I could say, you know, I'm just going to explain this verse to you, and then you can go home and do it, and you'll have great success. But if I told you that was possible, I would be lying to you, because that's not been my experience. I have not known what it was like from the beginning of my desire to follow the Lord. I have not known what it was to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that it hindered the power of the flesh to work within me. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is something that I believe takes learning at the Lord Jesus' feet regarding what took place at Calvary, at the cross. You know, you notice the order of where Romans 14 is? It's towards the end of the book. And Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 come first. And really, this verse is saying you have an identification with the Lord Jesus Christ, positionally before God. You no longer are seen in the first man before God, because at the cross, God dealt with Adam and settled that score. He dealt with the power of sin. He dealt with the law. At the cross, and that's what Romans 1, 4, 5, 6, 7 deals with, that's where God gives us the understanding of what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not my desire to spend a lot of time going over that teaching today, because I just feel like the Lord has given me just something specific. And then that'll give room for someone else who might have something specific to share with you too. But it will be necessary if we want to wear the crown of life to understand what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is beautiful is we have the truths that come before in this book, which help us to become established in what it means to put him on. What it means that we are now in Christ Jesus. God sees us that way. He no longer sees us connected with the old age. He sees us in connection with the new age. So this is specifically, I would say, those that had the ministry brought before them this week would have more insight into that expression than the others. But this verse, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, has to do with the new, has to do with God's answer in man, and that is the Lord Jesus has become the man that God has set up for us now to find our identification in. And so maybe I haven't given you in this little short, as I share this verse that has come to mean something to me today, I haven't necessarily given you all of the answers. But I trust that I've whetted your appetite, because there is a reward when our lives are lived in such a way that we endure temptation. And believe me, we're not going to endure temptation under any stretch of the imagination. We're not going to endure temptation in the first man. But in Christ, there is wonderful provision. In that new life which we possess, in the power that's been given to us in the Spirit of God. And all of this, all of these truths are found in the beginning of Romans. You know, when Paul wrote to Romans, he wrote and his heart was specifically for one reason, that they might be established in the gospel. He wanted to establish them in the gospel. And when a soul is established in the gospel, they know what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it doesn't say you won't make provision. We don't have a guarantee that we won't have to put forth energy in the Christian life to resist the temptations that we're going to find in the pathway, and also to deal with what still exists in that old nature that we have. I just want to share with you just some more truth from Romans so that it will give you hope to realize there is an answer. There is comfort and encouragement that there can be deliverance from this evil nature that I have. In Romans 8, it tells us, ye are not in the flesh. And that's a pretty amazing thing to hear God say. Ye are not in the flesh. Well, I can't say that I live in the constant enjoyment of how God sees me and in the power of being able to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is what God tells me to do. And if he tells me to do it, he's given provision and he's given the instruction for me to learn what it means and how it's applied in my everyday life. None of these things that God gives the believer are unattainable, because God's not going to give us something that we can't enjoy living in the good of. Will it only be through having the light of these truths brought home to our soul by the Spirit of God? Yes. We will learn nothing except it be as the Spirit of God instructs us. But there might be some here that say, I have such a deep, serious, agonizing, troubling weakness that I know there's no power, there's no ability to overcome it. And according to the Word of God, that's a lie of Satan. Is it true that in my personal practical experience, I may have to stumble? I may have to get up again. I may have to learn. I may have to see how failing I am before I understand the power of new life. There's not a question as to whether that's true. That is true. That God will bring us into these things and we will have to learn through experience and we will find ourselves on our faces. But the truth of God, and I want to quote a verse that our brother quoted last night. Actually, I want to quote the other verse. He quoted, the Son shall set you free. And I want to quote, the truth shall set you free. And, you know, I'm going to stop now by going back to the verse, and I realize I've gone all over the place, and that's just fine. I want to go back to the verse that God brought light home to my soul to encourage your heart that God is offering us this. Blessed is the man, verse 12 of James chapter 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. There's a crown of life. We're going to wear it. I don't know if it's right to say I've said things that weren't quite right before. So it's something we're going to enjoy in eternity. We may not always be wearing it now because we may choose not to use the tools God has given us to endure temptation. But those tools are there, and God has given us all that we need in order to be able to enjoy the life and all of its fruit that God has chosen to bless us with.